All right, let's begin. We are up to Perek. Perek Yudalit, we're up to Pasik, the last of the four plagues, the last of the four punishments, Dever, Pasik Yutes. Again, it's Perek Yudalit, Pasik Yutes. I encourage, it's okay. Over there, there's one of the on the bima. So on the bima is okay. You don't have to stay. You don't have to stand when it's in motion. When the Sefer Torah is in motion. So you'll tell me when it's in motion. Okay, Pasuk Yutas. We pass Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Yutas. We are continuing, winding down this particular mashal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yechezkel, I am going to do for Klal Yisrael a very great chesed. I'm going to allow there to be survivors. That's really the major theme that comes out of this section. Hashem is expressing, I'm going to do chesed. There are going to be survivors from the Churban Bayis. And this is something that I would not do for another nation. If there was another nation that behaved the way my people behaved, the way the Jewish people behaved, by making such statements of less din, the less dayan, there is no mishpat. A person can do in this world whatever he wants. And he's not held accountable for his sins in the next world and in this world. If there would be another nation that would do such a thing, and I would bring upon them one of four possible punishments, either a war, or a famine, or a dever, or a chayois ros, they would be obliterated off the face of the earth. There would be no survivors. And even if you'll find amongst the nation people, righteous Gentiles, that are equivalent to Noach, Daniel, and Eoif, their combined righteousness would only permit that they themselves be spared from Churban, but not anyone else. Everyone else in society would perish. Yet, for Klal Yisrael, whom is my chosen nation, who have done this, even sins that are horrible, as we mentioned, the sin of denying the existence of Hashem, denying the idea of less din, less dayan. They, and for what they have done, I'm going to punish them with all four punishments together. I'm going to bring upon you, Yerushalayim, everything together. Yet, I'm going to allow that there be a significant number of survivors. They're going to exile, they're going to survive, and from them is going to be rebuilt Klal Yisrael. So here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going through these ideas, Hashem, there's a lot of verbosity in these psukim where Yechezkel expresses each one of these punishments one at a time. And now we're up to the fourth. The fourth is Dever. A Dever, Ashalach El Haaretz, if I were to send to the earth, Dever, a plague, V'shafachti Chamosi Olecha Bidom, and through Dever, who is a non-Jewish nation that denied Hashem's existence, and Hashem would choose to punish them by bringing upon them a plague. And the plague causes their blood. It's a very interesting pasuk here. The pasuk is telling us that Dever affects the blood. See, the psukim here are ahead of their time. It's ahead of their time. They knew that you can take a blood test. In the blood test, you can see is the disease. I mean, at what point in time in history did people become aware of this? Not that long ago, right? How many years ago was it understood that in the blood you can detect today they can do a blood test to anything. They can detect anything in the blood. And that's exactly what it says. There's going to be a dever, the plague, and v'shafachti chamosi olecha bedam, and I'm going to pour out my anger upon the people's blood. We'll see in a moment, basically the dever affects the blood, they're all going to die. L'hachris mimen ha'adam u'vehima, and it'll bring an end to man and animal. And even if Noach, and here we repeat their names for the second time, the Noach, Daniel, the Yoiv Bis Soicha, even if they were to be in this land, these three tzaddikim, Chai Ani, Hashem swears, Nur Hashem, Elokim, in Bain, in Bas, Yatzilu, Hema, Vitzit Kosam, in Bain, in Bas, Yatzilu. It means not. They would not be able in their merit to save their own children, even children that have no sins. The most these tzaddikim can do is save themselves. Hema, Vitzit Kosam, Yatzilu, Nafsham will save themselves. Let's see here what it says over here in Pasuk Yutes in the Mitzudos David. Oy dever. Im gemul ha'avon yeh asher eshlach dever al aretz. If the punishment for the sin of saying less din v'less dayin will be that I will send forth a dever al aretz, and I will bring upon them, and there will be blood, bedam. So here it says lahafsid also. The Mitzudos understands that the dever causes the blood to be ruined, to be diminished, to be destroyed. Ki mechus hadever hu shenifsat hadam mehaavir hamufsat. The essence of dever is that the blood, the essence of a plague, caused the blood shenifsat hadam. The blood becomes ruined. Mehaavir hamufsat, due to the poor quality of air. Okay, so what does that mean exactly? In the air that you're breathing, there is bacteria. There is some type of disease. And that disease enters into your bloodstream, which causes the person to die. In bain, ritzon loimar, im shuras hadin mechayeves lahatzil biskusam bain bas. The shuras hadin would not permit that their children survive this plague. Okay, let's see now the pasuk chaf. There is no mitzudos in pasuk chaf. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi is also none. Rashi is none. Let's see Radak. Radak pasuk yutes im dever hatam ki hadavar yave beratzayin hakel behefsid haavir bechaim oy bekar mishuna meha minok. So here he's giving us a science lesson. Science lesson, the Radak. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a dever, it means that the air, the quality of air, is not what it should be. Either it's too cold or it's too hot. The Ha'avir v'hadam misdamim b'shtei achayusehem shehem hachoyim v'halachos. Air and blood are like sisters. Okay, that's what it says here. They're like b'shtei achayusehem. Okay, achisehem means that there are two. I think it means sisters. Is that what it means? I think it means sisters. Shema choyim v'halachos, which means heat and moisture. The adam hu nefesh, blood is the soul of man. The ruach hachayim shuhi b'lev tuli ba'avir, and the spirit of life, which is in the heart, depends on the air. V'ma'avir mufsad, if the air is mufsad, hinei gam hadam mufsad, they're toli ze b'ze. If the air is polluted, that will have an immediate impact upon the person's blood. The amusu birega echod rabim, in one moment many people will die. Lefichach amar v'shafachti chamosi badam, and that's why the pasuk here says, I will send forth my anger in blood. So he's pointing out, as we mentioned, every time we went through the four different examples, the four different types of punishments, in each punishment there is a different expression, there are different words that are presented, and here the Radak very cleverly is explaining why certain words appear in some punishments and others do not. The only one of the four punishments where we mention this theme of blood is only with regard to dever. Because only in regard to dever, the method, the process of death is first the air is contaminated, and the person breathes that air, and that air causes blood to be contaminated, which leads to his death. That's not the way it works when it comes to a chayra. A chayra is an animal just attacks, instant eats up the person. When it comes to famine, a person's blood is not affected, he just dies from starvation. When it comes to the fourth one,
Even blood could be affected by a bite of a bad animal. Can you get an infection?
Poison. Inachanami. All right, but the person can die from many other reasons. Can just die from the lack of circulation. The animal decapitates the person. I mean, whatever. But when it comes to a dever, everyone is dying through blood. And that's why the pasuk here mentions specifically blood. Okay, Radak pasuk chaf v'noyach, and it goes on to v'noyach im bein v'imbas lo rabim v'lo echad, that even if in this society there would be three tzaddikim on the caliber of Noach, Eliyahu, and Daniel, they would not be able to save their people, their children, even though their children have not sinned, are pure from sin. Lo rabim v'lo echad ki arishoin imbanim v'imbanos. He's pointing out here that we mentioned this idea of banim and banos, we mentioned it three times. We did not mention the idea of banim and banos when it came to famine. Famine was not there, we did not mention, and the Radak explained why we didn't say banim. The reason why he gave there, why he did not say children, is because since one of the three people listed in the beginning was Daniel, and Daniel did not have children, okay, at least, maybe, I don't know, but it seems like he did not have children. So therefore, we did not mention Doniel because he did not have children, so there's no need to mention children. But the other, but number two, number three, where we don't mention them by name, then we mention children. And here, the fourth time, even though we do mention the three people by name, we mention Daniel, still in all, we're still going to mention, I guess, once we started mentioning children, so we mention children again the fourth time. But when we do mention children, he takes note that every time we mention children, it's with a different expression. Here in Pasuk Chaf, it says, Im Bein, Im Bas. When we mentioned the one previously in Pasuk, let's say Pasuk Yud Zayin, when we mention Cheref, Cheref Yal Aretz, Ahiv Amati Cheref Tav Av Aretz, Vichati Mene Adam Ema, Ush Pasuk Yutes, Shosh Adosh Moil Lebesoch, Chai Onim Hashem, Leisil Bonim U Bonos. Different expression. It doesn't say Im Bein Im Bas, it says Bonim and Bonos. And when we go back up to the Chayera, back in Pasuk Tes Zayin, it says Im Bonim V'im Bonos. So here the Radak is just taking note that when we do mention the fact that these tzaddikim are not going to be able to save their children, and we mention this idea three times, each time it's mentioned with a different expression. Im bonim v'im bonos, bonim bonos, im bein im bas. Okay, so that requires that. He's not really telling us why. He's not telling us the reason, but he is making note that there is a difference. And obviously there's a reason for this difference which is hidden from us. He's not really giving an explanation. I'm sure there is something deeper to this, but he's just saying it's poetic. It's poetic in order when you have repetition, so therefore each time we do it a little bit differently. Okay, let's see. Rashi, there is none. Now we wind down. Okay, so now after we've gone through the four different types of punishment, so I go to the Shabbat, so what's the message? What do I want with all this? Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Ki choy omar Hashem Elohim. So says Hashem. Af. Ki arbas shifotai horoim. Even though I'm going to bring upon Klal Yisrael, all four together, not just one of the four, all four together. And here he enumerates them. Cherev, v'ra'av, v'chayora'ah, v'adever. And we've noted last time when we read this pasuk last time, is that something, another curious observation. Why is the order changed? When we enumerated them in detail, the order was ra'av, it was Chayorah, Cherev, and Dever. And now the order has been changed. Cherev, Rahav, Chayorah, Vodever, Shilachli El Yerushalayim, Lahachris Mimena Adam Vehema. I'm going to bring upon Yerushalayim all four together. But yet Hashem says in Pasuk of Gimel, Vihinei. Even though all four will come together, and certainly every living creature should be obliterated, yet I am going to do chesed, vihine, nosura ba, peleta. There will be a remnant. There will be a she'eris, a very beautiful pasuk. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always guarantee the survival of Klal Yisrael. There will always be someone to carry the torch. Hamutzoim. Who was the pleita? Who are the she'eris ha'pleita? The people that will come forth. Who are they? The banim ubanos, the children. Hinam yotzim aleichem. They are going to come. They're going to be exiled from Yerushalayim. They're going to descend to Bavel to greet the 10,000 people who were already transplanted to Bavel 11 years before the Churban. And now the pasuk says something very interesting. Uriisem estarkam. When the people, the adults, the people who have been living in Bavel for 11 years, they see the new exiles. They see the people, these children, who have now been are coming from Eretz Yisrael, who are coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. They will see as Darkom. Okay, they will see Darkom. They will see their evil ways. They'll look at them and they'll say, "Wow, you're such a Rishoyim." They'll listen to the way they talk, the way they behave, the way they conduct themselves. And they'll say the es aliloi sam, their ways and their deeds, and they'll say to themselves, you know something, they really deserved to be obliterated off the face of the earth. There's no reason why these people should have survived. We can recognize they're wicked, and yet they survived. It must be a Kadosh Baruch Hu has plans for us. This itself is going to be for us a source of comfort. V'nichamtem is a very very strange type of nechama. Normally, when you have nechama, achmanim lesson, a person is an avelus, and part of someone comes to give him nechama, so you don't. The nechama is positive. It's all positive reinforcement. Is that everything is good and fine? Like don't worry. The person lived a full life. Don't have to mourn over this person. He lived a full life. He accomplished great things. He left over children. He left over a legacy. He left over money. He left over a lot of good things. So look at the positive side of the thing. Here it's a whole new world. You hear a very fascinating insight to Nechama. Nechama is the people who went to exile 11 years before, and they're very upset, they're very distraught. Why did we have to go into exile? And now they see 11 years later that Yerushalayim is destroyed, and their children and their relatives are coming down to Yerushalayim, coming down to Bavel, and they look at them, and they're able to see, wow, you know, you're really Rishoyim. And we really now appreciate that really none of us deserve to survive. And the fact that we survived, it's a very great act of kindness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has done for us more than we deserve. And that is Nechama. Isn't that amazing? Is that in the Tzara, when a person, Rachman Litzlan, is suffering to a very great degree, when he recognizes that he really should have gotten more, that's Nechama. And Rachman Litzlan, a person who's in prison. Right, he's in prison. He's suffering. He's in solitary confinement. And the judge says to him, I really should give you a sentence of 10 years. But you know what? I'm going to have rachmanis on you. I'm going to give you a sentence of 5 years. So here when he's sitting in solitary confinement and he's suffering, he's being tortured, v'chulu v'chulu, it's nechama. That's a nechama. In my suffering, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. I only have to wait 5 years instead of waiting 10 years. That's exactly what it says over here. That's the nechama. V'nichamtem al hara'a, you will have comfort for the ra asher hevesi al Yerushalayim, ace concerning kol asher hevioleho, concerning all that I brought upon Yerushalayim. Now let's see these two psukim inside in the Mefarshim pasuk chafal chabez in the Mitzvah of David. Chafal kikarim Hashem. The Mitzvah here is very, very precise. It's very clear. Very, very clear. The Mitzvahs. Asher kein amar Hashem. So says Hashem. Asher kol shekein. How much more so do the Jewish people deserve to be obliterated? Asher al kol shekein hadavar shehine eshlach al Yerushalayim, I am going to dispatch upon Yerushalayim bigmul as a punishment ba'avoinam, as a punishment for their sins, eis arba'as shefatai hara'im lahachrisam, all four upon these nations that I have focused on. Hashem says, make believe in the world there would be, I'm assuming it's not make believe, but in fact the Navi says the must haka be that there were nations in the world that this happened to. But make believe in the world out there, in the big wide world, there were nations who have done terrible sins, specifically the sin of Ma'al Mal, to say less din v'less dayan, and I would bring upon them one of the four punishments. And no one should survive. No one, there should be no survivors. The tzaddikim can save themselves, but no one else. Al achas kama v'kama, when I'm bringing upon Yerushalayim all four punishments in one shot, there should be no survivors, especially since, and even tzaddikim, we know tzaddikim, there doesn't seem too many tzaddikim there either. Shekol shekein hu she'ein...
Only Yerushalayim, but what about other cities in Eretz Yisrael?
There was no other cities. At this point in time, the only thing left was Yerushalayim. There was a siege. There was nothing left. So very excellent. Thank you very much. Very nice. There was a siege. There was at the time of the Qurban of the Yerushalayim, all that was left was Yerushalayim. Sanherib already exiled the Aseres Hashvatim, and as the Nebuchadnezzar got closer and closer, everyone sought refuge in the walls of Yerushalayim. There were no other cities. That's what it's mashed. The Bayan Sheni, it seemed, there were some other places to go hang out. Beitar and also other cities. But the Bayan Yerushalayim, the impression we want to get is there was nothing left in Eretz Yisrael other than in Yerushalayim. So therefore, kol shekein hu she'ein shuas adid machayeve she'yeh mi mehem nitzal b'skus ha-tzadikim. No one should survive. No one should survive in Yerushalayim. V'hine, yet Hashem is saying here, pasuk habeis, v'hine nosra bar, v'tzon olaymar, im kol zeh. Nevertheless, b'chasti, in due to my kindness, tishoer b'pleita. Hashem says there will be a remnant. V'heim, who are they? Habanim v'habanos. Hamotzi'im mi'rushalayim. Who have been exiled from Yerushalayim, l'leches b'goylad, who are going into exile. Hinam yoytzim aleichem. Again, Yechezkel is speaking to the people living in Babel, who have been exiled 11 years before. And he's saying they're going to come to greet you.
There are Jews in other parts of the world.
There are Jews?
Babel, you just said that.
But we're dealing over here with a very specific time period. We're dealing over here, Yechezkel is speaking now at the time of a few years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Yechezkel is currently standing in Babel and is addressing the people living in Babel, telling them that is going to be a Korban. Now, at this point in time, there are only two groups of Jews. There is a group of Jews living in Yerushalayim, and there is a group of Jews, a small group of 10,000 Jews, living in Babel. And that's it. Nowhere else. Maybe you'll find a Chabad house somewhere in Australia, but besides some a little outpost, a settlement with the IDFs protecting, besides that, all you have in the whole world is in Yerushalayim. And you have the people in Babel. That's it. That's the only Jews on the map, pretty much. And Yechezkel is addressing the people in Babel who are depressed, who have been exiled by Nebuchadnezzar 11 years before the Korban. They're living there, and Yechezkel says, set up shop, build houses, invest in real estate. You're going to be here for a long time. You're going to be here for 70 years. Not going anywhere for a long time. And they're very depressed. And he said, you know what else? You know what's going to happen? Very soon, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, and many are going to die, but there's going to be a She'eris HaPleita, and they're going to come down to greet you, to join you here in Babel, where you are, together with you. And when you see these people, these children, first of all, they shouldn't have survived, because the Shuras HaDin demands that they all die, yet Hashem made an exception. Hashem allowed them to survive. But when they come and they join, you look at them and you say, ugh, what kind of Jews are you? You're irreligious. You're rebellious. You're totally terrible. And then you realize, you know, suddenly they really should have died. They should have died. Maybe they realize that they're no better. They also should have died. And the fact that Hashem allowed them to live means Hashem has something in store for us. That Hashem is patient with us. He's going to allow us over time to do tshuva and ultimately return and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That's exactly what it's saying over Hashem. That's exactly what Pasuk HaBeis is telling us. Yechezkel is addressing the people living in Babel. They're coming to you in Babel to greet you. And when you look at them and you'll see Es Darkom, Asher Loi Toivim, these people who are greeting you, they are Roshoyim. V'nichamtem. Now, Yiye Lochem Tanchumin. You will have comfort. Very strange. When you see children that are Roshoyim, you have comfort. Alma Shehis Abaltem, concerning the Avelos that you are experiencing. Al Horoa Shehavesi Al Yerushalayim. Ki Behaboim Tiru. Because when you look at these people that come to Babel, you see Shehoyu Ru'uyim Avdoim, they are deserving of death. And yet, as called, Ritzon Elaymar, Al Kol Mine Haroz, due to all of the sins, Shavesi Alehem, Al Kulam Yelochem Tanchumin, and you'll realize we don't even deserve to live. We don't deserve to live. Therefore we now have comfort that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at least allowed us to survive and have another chance to rebuild. Now let me just explain another detail. The question we explained is that the people who left 11 years before had Tsar, why couldn't we stick it out? Why do we have to go into Golus? When they see these people, they realize this is how they would have looked had they remained another 11 years in Yerushalayim. In other words, it was a free fall. They were going downhill. And when you're going downhill, a person ain't Adam Roya Nige Atz, a person that can't even see where he's holding. Every year, the people were falling spiritually. They were getting lower, lower, lower. Hashem did chesed with these 10,000 people and stopped the freefall. By taking them out of Yerushalayim, putting them in Babel, they were preoccupied with survival, and they did not have time to do averos. They did not have time to do more averos and to sink further in their spirituality. They froze. Their spirituality froze in time. They didn't get worse. But the people living in Yerushalayim, which had a good life, they continued to worship Avodah Zarah, and they got worse, 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 worse. Now, when they came 11 years later to greet the people who were exiled 11 years before, the people who exiled 11 years before, who froze in time spiritually, they looked at the people who came now, and they looked and said, wow, if we would have remained in Yerushalayim, we would have been like you. We would have sunk to a low level like you. So they realized for themselves, it was a great act of chesed that Hashem did that took us out of Eretz Yisrael 11 years early to stop us from sliding further. And that saved us. And by us, and now you, and it's another chesed that these people survive. And together, we'll work together, we'll repair ourselves.
Weren't they the Charish Vamaskar?
Yes, that's the Charish Vamaskar.
So they're supposed to be on a higher level to begin with.
Even the Charish Vamaskar, the Farshim say, they were going lower and lower and lower. We don't understand the Nisyonis of Avodah Zarah, what was taking place during the time. But people were their spirituality was sinking lower and lower and lower. And going into Galus, they come to recognize was an act of chesed to stop them from this free fall of their spiritual free fall.
So Galus Babel was superior to the fall in Yerushalayim?
Galus Babel was?
Superior.
What do you mean superior?
Spiritually, in other words, they said that the Galus Babel saved them.
Yeah.
From
yeah,
the
gullus, but no the fact they went 11 years early.
It was a fall, but it could have been turned around before.
The fact that they left 11 years early was to the, that's exactly what this pasuk is saying, was to their benefit. Because if they would have remained in Yerushalayim, they would have sunk spiritually. So Hashem froze them from sinking spiritually.
So what saved them? 11 years before, they were at the same level they were worshipping Avodah Zarah in Yerushalayim before New Year's.
Let's put it in terms of numbers. Right? Chazal said
that in terms of quality.
Let's put the quality of spirituality in terms of Chazal. There are 49 levels of Tumah. If we would have remained in Mitzrayim for one more moment, we would have sunk to level 50. We have the famous Chazal.
That's Mitzrayim.
Mitzrayim. So there's from 1 to 50. 50, once you get to 50, you're finished. You're finished. At 49, Hashem took us out at 49.99999. Had we remained one more second, we would have sunk to level 50. Here, let's make the people who are on level, from level, let's say, 40. Okay, 11 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, everyone in Yerushalayim, the average man was level 40. Put it in terms of numbers. Hashem took 10,000 people, get out of here. Taking you 10,000, we're taking you to Babel. 11 years passed. The people in Babel remain in level 40. They remained. They didn't get better. They remained in level 40.
So they were worshiping Avodah Zarah in Babel too?
Yechezkel says they did. He gives them Musa. Some of them were doing Avodah Zarah. But it's not important they got better, they got worse. They didn't get worse though. Let's assume that. Yechezkel, we find giving the people in Babel Musa stop worshiping idols. So in Babel, they were also, their machshavos, their thoughts, at least their thoughts were in Avodah Zarah. But when they were in Babel, these 10,000 people were now at holding on autopilot at 40, level 40. The people who remained in Yerushalayim, who were at 40, 11 years later, now went down to 49. They went down to 49. Now, the Golus, 11 years later, Nebuchadnezzar exiles everyone. They all come to greet the people in Babel. The people in Babel who are 40, are level 40, they look at the people, their relatives, who they have not seen in 11 years, and they see they're at 49. What happened to you? They're at 49. So they realize, number one, they say, what a chesed. If you're at 49, Hashem should have killed you all. You don't deserve to live. And it's a chesed, the fact that you're alive. Number two, wow, you're at 49, and we're only at 40. So that means Hashem did with us a chesed, that he took us out of Yerushalayim 11 years in advance to prevent us from going from level 40 to 49. These two things is a comfort for everyone. That Hashem, in hindsight, we realize it was not for our best that we should remain in Yerushalayim. And number two, it's a comfort that it could have been worse. Everyone could have been wiped out. The fact that there are survivors is also a comfort. This is how the Radak Lipshan, the Pasuk, very clear. Now let's look over the Rashi. Rashi says, Shifotai, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Hashem is going to bring my judgments, my mishpat, a French word, or mechol is not here today, af ki, and then Hashem goes on even, and certainly how much more so, loshen kal v'chaymer v'kol shekein hu. V'chein v'chol ha-mikro k'goyin hinei anachnu po b'yehuda yirayim v'af ki certainly neilech ki'ilo. Okay, this is in one of the Haftaris. The word afki means a kal v'chaymer, whatever. I don't know the sugi there. I don't remember the details. V'chein parash azu hinei b'yosu tamim lo yosu l'mechama afki esh. That's the next, that's mamash pasik tezvav. That's going to be another, when we read that, that'll be tomorrow or the next day, you know, after Purim. That's going to be another sugi of another kal v'chaymer. So we'll leave that rash, pasik, the rash quoting. We'll come to the context very, very soon. But the idea over here is we have a kal v'chaymer, and indeed Chazal tell us there are 10 instances in Tanakh where there is a kal v'chaymer, and this is one of them. This over here is one, we learned today over here, one of the 10 places in Tanakh where the psukim make for us a kal v'chaymer. If the nations of the world, if one form of punishment would obliterate them off the face of the earth, kal v'chaymer, how much more so in Yerushalayim, where Hashem brought all four together upon the land, how much more so should everyone have been obliterated from Yerushalayim? Yet, look at the chesed of Hashem. The Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Hashem always allows there to be a she'eris ha'pleita, there to be a remnant in Klal Yisrael to go on to carry the torch to the next generation. Now there are a few, before we do the radak, I'll tell you a few things. We'll do the radak. Is the word, even though it says afki, the Medrash says, we just said zakal v'chaymer, afki, but the Medrash says, it's really teaching you that there is a fifth punishment. Okay, the Pasuk of Aleph says, ki chayim Hashem Elokim, af ki arbas shifatai. How much more so, af means certainly, when all four punishments are going to come converge against you. So it says the word arbas explicitly in the Pasuk four, but some of the Medrash says it's 4 plus 1. What's 4 plus 1? Af. Af is a code word for with denial of rain. As it says in Kriyashma, V'chora af Hashem bochem, V'yotzar es hashamayim, V'lo yihye motar, V'hadama lo sitin es yivulo. So here, it's telling you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he brought about a Churban on Yerushalayim, the truth is Hashem brought 5 punishments. 4 was not enough. Besides the famine, and besides the wild animals, and besides the cheref, the mucham, and besides the dever, the plague, there was also a denial, a withholding of rain, which in itself is a problem. There's nothing to drink. Forget about the fact that crops don't grow. Crops, there can be plenty of rain, the crops won't grow because of winds, of very powerful winds. Yerokoin and shidofoin. There can be some type of too much rain, or there can be the winds can be too strong and can cause the crops not to grow, even though there's plenty of rain. But at least there's rain. You have what to drink. There's moisture. There's water. The wells are filled with water. But when there's no rain, then you have another problem. You obviously have a drought. It brings with it other problems. And that's what the Medrash says here. There were really, really, truly 5 different punishments brought upon Yerushalayim. Okay. Specifically, the Medrash says is 5. 4 plus 1.
You say
Af-Bari. We use the word Af right by in the Birchas Hagesh and Birchas Tal. Okay, let's see the Radak. Radak pasuk Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis. Ki choyamar Af ki arbaas shifatai horoim. Even though I'm going to bring all 4. Punishments. Retzolaymar kol shkin certainly kmo afki anochi enenu ve'adam lo. We have in Tanakh 10. They have in Tanakh a number of times the kal v'chaymer, the 10th kal v'chaymer. Whenever you have these two words together, it means certainly kal v'chaymer. Omar b'de'am Omar be'eretz me'arotzos hagoyim be'echad Hashem said be'eretz me'arotzos hagoyim in a land. In the from one of the lands, the many countries, the many civilizations out there in the world, the echad me'arbas, one of the 4 shifatim ani esa isakola. If I would only bring upon a nation one of these 4, they would be finished. they would not exist. Kol Shekin, how much more so should it be that Yerushalayim should be destroyed when I bring upon them all four together? Kol Shekin b'makom shavi kol harba shuuya shetehei kola. It's fitting that they should be completely destroyed. The El Yerushalayim shlachti harba, and upon Yerushalayim indeed Hashem says I did dispatch all four. Im kol zeh, nevertheless loy asisi kola. Nevertheless, Hashem did not bring a total destruction. As it says in Yirmiyah, that you, I will not bring a total end. I'll always allow there to be a remnant in Klal Yisrael. So we're laying over here today a beautiful pasuk. It's a beautiful, beautiful pasuk that even though it's obviously it's very tragic, there's a tremendous siyat d'shmai for Klal Yisrael that is always going to be a she'eris ha'pleita. It's said that no one's guaranteed to be part of that she'eris ha'pleita. At the klal, for the klal Yisrael, they will survive. An individual, that you need merit. If you're going to be part of that group, Hashem says it's really worthy. The midas hadin demands that man and animal be destroyed. I had compassion. I've allowed survivors to remain. Now what's going to happen? Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. I'm going to give you a bracha. They're going to be survivors. The survivors are going to join you. They're going to come forth. Those who come forth from Yerushalayim to go into Golis, into Bavel. The Amar Banim Ubanos. Here it says, who will be the survivors? Children.
What?
I'm reading Radak, Pasuk Chavez. Radak, Pasuk Chavez. One more time, the words. V'yinei ha-motzo'im banim ubonos, ha-motzo'im Yerushalayim lihigo lo'isam bavela. When Yerushalayim is destroyed, there will be survivors. They will come forth from Yerushalayim. They will join you in Bavel. The Omar, the reason why he describes the survivors with the term banim ubanos kineged masha Omar im banim vim banos yatsi, like we said before in the previous psukim, Omar b'kibi Yerushalayim you need solim banim banos, and Yerushalayim will be survivors, children, af min harishaim sheimusu sham, even though many will die, but not all of them, v'loy kulam ki gam kein miaketanim neharagu sham umesu barab. We know for a fact, one of the kinois describes in very great detail about all of the children who died in Yerushalayim, umesu barav, v'af min agadolim, nitzlu min amitzav galu, there were some adults also that survived. What's going to happen to these survivors? They're going to greet you, join you in Bavel. Hinei yoitzim eleichem, omar keneged b'nei ha'goyla, hinei hanitzalim b'Yerushalayim yoitzim b'golus, they're going to go into Golus, u'boim b'aleichem Bavel, shetiru oisam, they will see you, and you will see them. Shetiru oisam, the people living above, the people who have gone into exile 11 years in advance will see them. V'sakiru ki bidin laku. And when the survivors who are in level 40 see their new exiles who are on a level 49, they will say, wow, you also deserve to die. You've sunk another 9 notches on this level of spirituality. Umasho isarti mehem lufi midas racham imasharbi. And they'll come to recognize the fact that Hashem allowed them to survive, even though they've sunk in these 11 years another 9 notches, is only due to Hashem's compassion. Ki adayim tiru oisam birisham, because when they come to Bavel, they're going to be in a state of wickedness. Shlei nichnu mikol asher asu, they're still not going to have remorse, they're not going to do tshuva. Veheim hasha'erish shenisharu, who are these referring to? We're referring to the people that remain in Yochanan ben Kereach. He was their leader. The leader, Visi also, Shenisharu Birisham, they were wicked. Adayin, Shalishamu Ladiva Yemiyahu Mipi Hashem, Beholchul Mitzrayim, is referring to this small group of people who they assassinated. Yochanan ben Kereach, he assassinated Gedaliah, and he was their leader. And Yirmiyah told them, do not go to Mitzrayim, remain here in Yerushalayim. And they refused to listen to the words of the Navi. V'nichamtem al hara'ah, tiyeh ru'uschem oysam berisham, nechom olochem. When you, the people who have gone into exile 11 years before, see these people, it will be a comfort for you. Because then you'll recognize that Hashem has justly punished Yerushalayim. Over here, the grammatical form is Mibinyan Nifal. Okay. So over here, it's literally a person cannot see. It's a very interesting idea. Ein Adam Roye Nige Atzmai. It's very hard for a person to see his own deficiencies, to see his own chesronos. Sometimes you need someone else. When it's someone else, and you look at them, and then you can make an assessment, and then you realize, you know what? That same principle applies to me, and that is a form of nechama. So now we have the same idea, very popular idea with David HaMelech. David HaMelech, he took Bathsheba, and Nas Hanavi comes and says to him, gives him a mashal about a man who has only one sheep, and another man comes along and takes away his sheep and slaughters and eats it, and he says to David, what is the halacha? What should we do to this person who has taken away the only sheep that this other man has? And David says, what a Rasha, he's a Bar Moves. So Nos Navi says, Ato Ho'ish, you're that man. Uriah Hachiti has a wife, his wife is a Shepsalah. And you, David, you have to go send him out to the front lines of battle in order to get killed so you can take a Shepsalah for yourself. Ato Ho'ish. So David didn't realize this when he was doing this. The answer is no. Ein Adam Roye Nige Atzmai. A person cannot see his own deficiencies. You have to go and look at it someone else. And if someone else, it's not Nige in me, then I have no Nigeus. Then I can think clearly, I can decide clearly. And then when you're shocked to learn that you're no different, you can make that analogy, what you have done is no different, this is a psychological technique which works.
And it's exactly what? I have a different motion. A Shalom, which Shmuel appointed him, he was an honor, right? He was too much of an honor. He goes, hides in the baggage. And Shmuel says, what are you doing over there? You're a king. You can't be like that. Don't you realize you've got to change? If you don't change, you're not going to be able to be the king. So he didn't see. Eventually, I think it elevated.
When you see it from someone else, when you're given an illustration of someone else, and you see what's happening, then you look at yourself in the mirror and say, "Wow, I'm that same person. What's happening to him? The same way I feel the pain, or I see the korban that's coming upon this person. I see it, then I can apply it to myself.
You can have it even, you look at this person and they think they're not as good as they really are." But you see that they are great, and you have to tell them.
So you can see greatness also works both ways. So here the people are using it for comfort. They themselves question Hashem. How, Hashem, can you have done this to us, to exile us from the Holy Land? And now when they see someone else being exiled, and they're able to look at their wickedness, their rishis, and they realize, wow, you people, they deserve to die. You know what? We're no different. We recognize we also rishoyim on what we have done. We also have deserved to die, and the fact that we are alive is a gift. It's more than we deserve, and that itself is a form of comfort. Now, before we go further, there's one critical medrash, and the medrash focuses on the word mutsoim. Why do we use this very unusual word mutsoim? Why do we focus on banim ubanos? And the answer is because Hashem handpicked these survivors, because Hashem knew, was Yer the Seif Kol Adayos, from these people will come forth in future generations tzaddikim. That's what Mutza means, will come forth, to interpret it to me, will come, not they, them, these people, they're finished. They're adults, whatever they are, they're going to live a life of rishis. These people, they're coming out of Yerushalayim, they're wicked, they're coming to Bavel, nothing's going to change in Bavel. Business as usual. Whatever Averis they did in Yerushalayim, they're going to do in Bavel. So why did Hashem save them? They're going to have children. And their children, they're going to try to raise their children like them, to be Rishoyim. But the children are going to rebel. The children are going to become Bali Tshuva. And from them will come forth greatness in Klal Yisrael. Who can make that determination? Who is able to go see that from a person, what will come, and from a person in future generations, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he pulls the strings, why things should happen, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why they survive. You can apply this to Shidduchim. Something to do with Shidduchim. Why in the world did this happen, that happened, this became Shidduchim, that became a Shidduchim. Timing in Shidduchim is almost everything. Had this happened at this time, for sure this would have been a Shidduchim. Had you been in this location at this time, Why did Hashgacha Pratis have it? So no one knows. No one really knows. But people theorize is that, listen, you don't know what will come from this marriage in 3 generations, 4 generations, 5 generations. There might be a particular person that will have a particular midos, skills, talent, and the DNA that is necessary to bring about such a koyach can only come from these two people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he calls the shots, he selects people, selects individuals in order of hamutzoim, the banim ubanos, what will come forth in the future generations. Okay, now we go to Pasuk, the last Pasuk in this section. Again, this Pasuk, I don't know why, but it appears to be pure repetition. There's no repetition in Navi, there must be something deeper, but at least from our perspective, repetition. V'nichamu eschem, Hashem says, I will provide for you comfort. Kisiru estarkom, when you see the evil ways of these people, when the children, the bonus when that have survived, the es ali loy summon their evil deeds, vidatem, you will then come to an awareness, you will then recognize, you'll then know that I am just in what I have done to bring a churban upon Yerushalayim. What has happened has been done with tzedek. Pasuk of Gimel in the Mitzudos David, v'nichamu eschem, haboyim hinam yinachamu eschem. The new exiles that join you in Bavel will be a comfort for you, al hara'ah, for all of the evil that has come upon you, because you will see that you deserved worse. You deserved in kisira esdarkam haro'im, v'chafal hadavir l'toysefes be'ur, and here there is repetition for clarity, for emphasis. Vidatem oz teidu asher loy b'chin masisi es kol arash asisi ba, you will then recognize that it's not for nothing, ki im b'gmul ha'ayin, everything was done for a purpose.
Oh boy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a mistake then. Good, you got another mistake. Okay. By the way, I'm very excited. I got yesterday. I just didn't have a chance even to look at it. They printed. And I'm sure you all seen the art scroll, Mikros Gedolos,
yeah.
The Hebrew only, with Nikudos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything is Nikudos. So they published. They started slowly publishing the Nevi'im. So like Yeshua Shaifdin, Shmuel, only Hebrew with Nikudos. Everything is Nikudos. Everything, the Mitzudos and the Radak and
you
the Targum and the Malbo.
Why?
Why not?
Because the schools
need it? Okay, good.
You don't want to have the kids learning English instead of the Hebrew.
Why?
Yeah, you go to all the yeshivas, all the schools, they teach Chumash, they don't want the kids learning the English, they want the teacher to give them the class.
Okay, I don't know, maybe. I don't know what the Cheshbonis are, but it's a beautiful product. It's a beautiful, beautiful, really, it's magnificent. So yes, so this, about 2 weeks ago, they released Yechezkel. Okay, how they had, I would have bought for everyone here, instead of this, I sure would have bought for everyone, no matter what it cost, the that edition, but it wasn't available, but now it came out, so hopefully, I'll see maybe.
Why did they have it? Which Mepharshim is in it, you know?
I don't even know. I assume everything we have here, the tar plus the Targum, I imagine the Malbim also. I didn't look at it, so believe me, they look at it. Go look at it on online. I didn't really get a chance, but okay. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe we'll find some hidden gems in there. Okay. Now we begin. Let's just start. Maybe just a little. Oh, we have to finish up. We finish over here the Mitzudos. The Rashi. Is any Rashi on this? No, there is no. No Shracha Beis. Okay. There is a French word. Hamot Soim. Bishavera v'yivum kan, those who have gone out in exile, and those who will come here. Radak pasuk beis, Radak pasuk of gimel b'necham u'eschem mibinyan poel hadagush. Okay, so that's it. So that concludes this parak. Now we get a new parak. This parak is a completely new topic. It's a very short parak, and it describes compares Klal Yisrael to Atzei Geffen. Atzei Geffen is a type of wood which is not very valuable. The product is second to none. A second to none. From vines come forth grapes. There's no greater product in the world than this. Very, very appropriate. We're learning this right for Purim, because Purim Purim is a mishtei yayin. Okay, Purim is the zman of yayin. So where do you get yain from? Grapes. Where do grapes come from? You can't forget grapes come from the vines. The vine wood is the poorest quality wood from all the various woods in the entire world. It's worth nothing. You can't use it for anything. And yet, from this shvachel wood, look what comes forth. Comes for yain yisamach levav enosh. Yain is used, yain yimakadesh Shabbos. Yain is the Yom Tov of Purim. And yet, where did it come from? The shvachash, the weakest of the weak. This is a marshal for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael ki atem hame'at mikol ho'anem. You're the weakest. We are the weakest. The whole Eretz Yisrael is a teeny dot on the map. Ki atem hame'at mikol ho'anem. But yet, from Eretz Yisrael, from Klal Yisrael, comes forth bracha to the whole world. The whole shosha bracha comes forth to the earth. Now, that's all very fine and good when Klal Yisrael produces yayin. But if the vines don't produce yayin, then the vines are really worthless. They're really worthless because the vines are weak. But if it produces yayin, so then the vines are priceless. But if the vines are not producing yayin, so what are they worth? They're worth nothing. You can't use it for lumber. You can't use it to make products. What? Psoilas. The psoilas. Going to the yakev. And certainly, let's say you would take this wood, and let's say you would take this wood and you would singe it. You would singe it from both ends, and you would remove its moisture. Then it's really worthless. It's really worth totally nothing. So this is over here, what Yechezkel is about to tell us now, is that Klal Yisrael, you're not producing peiros. You're not producing yayin. And not only are you not producing yayin, you've been singed from both ends, because Sancheriv exiled the Aseres HaShvatim, and the Nebuchadnezzar now is exiling Yehuda and Binyamin. So what are you worth? You're worth nothing. You're worth nothing. You're finished. And therefore, shape up or ship out. Basically, this is the Musar. You have to improve yourself. Otherwise, this is what's going to be.
an uplifting parak of Nechama, and I was going back the other way.
Most of Yechezkel is gloom and doom. Most of Yechezkel is gloom and doom. It's not very... Of Nevi'im, it's all gloom. Yeah. I mean, don't you get depressed when you're
studying?
Let's end by a shlishi. Let's read a few minutes. We have a few minutes left. Vayihi devar Hashem elai lemar. Ben Adam, ma yeh eitz hagefen. What's going to be? Ma yeh eitz hagefen mikol ho'eitz. Mikol eitz per kama. The pasuk clarifies. When I describe here the Eitz HaGefen, I'm not describing the Eitz HaGefen that produces grapes, because that's very valuable. It's priceless. I'm describing the Eitz HaGefen of the forest that does not produce grapes. Hazimoira, the twigs, which is a code word for worthless vines, asher hayo ba'atzei hayo, that can be found among the trees of the forest. This Atzei Gefen that is found in the forest, which has not been cultivated, has not been fertilized, has not been tended in order to produce grapes, is worthless. It's the most worthless type of wood. Let's see the Mitzvah stuff. Pasuk base. Ma yeh Ritzon Leimar. Ma hu hageiraon. What is the deficiency? What is the lowliness? Shall Eitz HaGefen of Eitz HaGefen mikol shor ho'etzim of over all of the woods. Hazimoyer. Now the pasuk comes to clarify. When I talk about the Atzei Gefen, I'm talking about a specific type of Atzei Gefen. Hazimoyer. Ritzon Leimar. Loyal Gefen Hakramim Baalei Pri Ani. I'm not describing over here the Gefen that's to be found in the vineyards that produces grapes. Ella Al Hazimoyer Hagedela Bayar. I'm describing the twig that's found in the forest. Shehu Eitz Gefen Midbar, which is called a piece of wood from the desert. She'enoi oise peros, that does not produce fruit. So that's what I'm describing. Let's give you Rashi. Rashi pasuk beis ma yiyah eitz hagefen mikol eitz ma soifay mikol shor eitzim. So here Rashi is a bit different than the Mitzudos, whereas the Mitzudos mention what is the deficiency, the giroyon, the lowliness. Rashi says what is the end. You know what the end is? You throw it in the garbage. It's destroyed. Hazemoira asher hoya ba'atzeh hayar loyal gefen hakamah hakamarim shoyse priani oimah. Not describing the vines that are productive. Eloch, Ela al Zemeros HaGefen, the twigs of Geffen HaGedela Beya'ar Arim, in the forest, which produces nothing, which is worthless. What's going to be their end? That's going to be your end if you don't behave yourselves. Aleph Miradak, Bayhi Ben Adam, Ma'ya Eitz, HaGefen Mikol Eitz, Ma Giri Osso. So he's learning like Rashi. What is the deficiency Mikol Eitz, Mikol Eitz Acher? Uve Eze Eitz, HaGefen Ani Sholo. So concerning which type of vine am I referring to? Loi al Eitz, Geffen sha'oiseh pe'am. Not referring to the eighth geffen which produces fruit. Ki oiseh choshefu. That type of geffen is valuable. Ella, what I'm referring to is Ella hazemoira asher ba'atzei hayar. I'm referring to the twig that's ba'atzei hayar, in the forest. V'hu kemoisam. And you, the Jewish people, are no different than this type of twig. She'enam oisim pri oleha. You don't produce fruit. Peros, ani shoyl oischa. That's why I'm asking you. Ki afilu ke atze hayar eina. You're not even like the atze hayar. Ki atze hayar afal pi sheinim oisim peri him uim lasos mehem lemalacha lasos mehem kelim velikros mehem bottom. So he says over here in Nechaim. I said a little bit different than I thought he was going to say, but you can find some purpose. The twigs that can be found of the atze geffen in the forest, even though they're very very poor quality, at least they have some purpose. You can use it for a roof. You can use it to make utensils. Aval Eitz HaGefen in a... I was correct. Other types of Atze HaYar, so other types of trees, have a purpose.
Even if they don't fruit.
Even if they don't produce fruit, they have a purpose. But this, Aval Eitz HaGefen, Hazeh Enakein, it's utterly worthless. Pasuk Gimel, Hayukach Mimenu Eitz Lasos Melacha. Are you going to take from this wood to do melacha? Im Yichu Mimenu Yaseid, are you going to take from it a splinter? Litlois Olav called Kelly, you won't even use it as a hook. This wood that you find, the atzei geffen that's found in the forest, is so weak, it's so inferior, you can't even use it for a hook. Let's see, Pasuk Gimel Mitzudos. Hayukach v'chi yukach mimenu eitz lasos the melacha v'chi yukru mimenu eitz lasos yosei to make a peg litlois olav shum kli bitmiya v'zehu al ki eitz hazehu cholush v'rach v'enoi roi l'klum. This type of wood is weak, it is not fit for any function whatsoever. Rashi Pasuk Gimel hayukach menu enoi roi l'kach kol kli shum keli. There's no function. Pasuk Gimel in the Radak hayukach im yukru mimenu yosei de'in tzoch loyma shlo yukru mimenu eitz l'melacha. It goes without saying that it's not strong enough to make a utensil, but you can't even use it for a hook. El afil yosei l'tlois l'av kol kli lo yukru mimenu kol kli shum kol kli afilu katan kamo kol melacha lo sasu shum melacha kol chelev kol dam v'lo yisoy chelu shum chelev v'shum dam. Means nothing. Absolutely has absolutely no function whatsoever. Pasuk Dalet. So now it goes on to say, Hine lo eish nitan le ochla. What happens to this piece of wood? According to Rashi, what's the end? You throw it into the fire. It's thrown into the fire. Lo eish nitan, it's given le ochla for consumption. Eish shnei kitzoysav ochla ho eish. The fire consumes the two ends of this twig. The fire consumes the soichoy nochar, and the inside, the center is parched. Hayitzlach lemalacha. Is there any function it can be used for? Certainly not.
To warm you up. No.
What?
Be used to warm the person up.
Twig.
So twig. Maybe it's not. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe even that it can do, because the amount of heat that it produces is so insignificant. Maybe it's not worth very much. Let's see the Mitzudos. Hine le'esh return the loymar v'ato. Now oisef loymar. In addition, according to the parish of the Mitzudos, in addition to the fact that this piece of wood itself is not worth very much, I'm going to destroy it by singeing it in fire. V'ato oisef loymar. Hine im ho'etzahu nitan elo'esh l'sreifa. This twig is going to be put in the fire. V'ho'esh sorfa ba b'shnei haketzavos. It's going to burn both ends. It's going to become dry in the center. Now there's no hope whatsoever. Rashi, Pasuk Dalet, Hinei lo'esh nitan l'melacha. Hinei, now I'm not sure I'm reading this correctly. She'alticha al hatamim. Ve'enoi roi l'klum. Now what does it mean, she'alticha? I'm going to set you. I'm not sure what this means. I thought it means to plant you. Tamim, the ena roy leklum. Well, I asked you shelischa al hatamim. The ena roy leklum. I asked you what is a piece of wood, a twig, when it's complete, before it's been scorched, parched in fire.
Right, it's complete, it's a clean.
I asked you, I asked you, what can you use this twig for concerning al hatamim when the piece of wood is complete, before it's been burnt? And what was your answer? The answer is obvious. Now, achas kama v'kama. Here was the kal v'chomer we mentioned before. Rashi quoted this one before. Therefore, hine im nasnu zemar min bo'esh. If I now take this piece of wood which you've told me cannot, because it has absolutely no function whatsoever, and I go and I put in fire, the ochlo ho'esh b'shnei kitzois hekefa, and the two ends of its circumference, the two ends of its hekefa, of its, I guess, a circumference, whatever that means, it means the two edges. Ad kinochar toich, until it's parched in the center. Then Rashi goes on to say, what exactly does it mean nochar? Nochar means nishar min esh. Nochar means it's nishar min esh. Nochar v'loshen v'atzmi chora v'yesh loyazim v'chein v'yachar ola apoy chim v'menachim im atzmi chora hayitzlach oid l'molocha. Al achas kama v'kama, is this piece of wood fit any longer for some productive purpose? So nochar means, it means scorched. It means charred. So al achas kama v'kama, it's not going to be fit any longer for any molocha whatsoever. Let's see Radak. We'll wind up with Radak. Radak and Pasik Dalid. Hine le'esh nitan le'ochla. Ein b'yitzarech el l'halik v'ho'esh. This piece of wood has no function other than putting the fire. Eshnekit so'yisav ochla ho'esh. Oid etnenu pochus. I'm going to make the piece of wood even worse. I'm going to even diminish it further. V'oimer. Hine shnekit so'yisav ochla ho'esh. Kolaymar. Im yichu oisa mitoich ho'esh. Achash ochla shnekit so'yisav. If I go and I take this piece of wood, I pour it into the fire, and both ends of this piece of wood have been charred by the fire, and the center has dried out. If I now take it and I try to use it for something, but be'emes toicho nocha, certainly the center has been charred. Ki im acholto min hakotzeh ha'echad ad hakotzeh ha'acher rochok min ho'esh v'loy nochar, because even though it's been consumed from one end to the other end, far from the fire, v'loy nochar avol im ochlo ho'esh nekit soisa be'emes toicho nochar. If you'd only char from one side, then there's a possibility that the other side is not still moist. But if you take a piece of wood and you burn it from both ends, then it's certain that the center has been completely dried out. Certainly it's been charred from the fire. And there is no, this piece of wood now has absolutely no further function. What are you going to do with it? Now you're going to throw it into the fire to finish it off. When you burn fire, it has certainly no purpose whatsoever. Okay, now he goes on to a very long explanation of what it means, and that long explanation will leave Mir Tashem for tomorrow. Okay, we're in the middle of the Radak on this pasuk. We'll leave it for tomorrow.